You know, I don't know if you can see it, but on the bulletin, it's really small. It says Romans, Unwrapping the Gospel. That's a series that we're in right now. And I am personally loving it, even if you're not. I'm loving it. Every week, I'm kind of like, wow, this is, I know why I was nervous to hit this book. But at the same time, I'm going, this is so good. This is so good. Let's pray as we open up the Word. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this morning that we get to come to your altar, Lord. We get to receive forgiveness. Lord, we get to receive your life. Lord, I pray as we come that we would open up our hearts and trust you and look to you for what we need for life. Life that's so much more than just provision. Life that's so much more than a job or even a home. But we can also trust you for those things. Because you tell us, as we seek you out, your kingdom, that you'll take care of all those things too. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Last time we talked about the problem of what we want to do versus what we do. What's the answer? The answer is God's Spirit living in us. You know, we talk about those good efforts that we all have. We want to do the right thing, and yet we don't. And not only are we guilty because we can't perform God's righteousness, is we sometimes don't even want to. We're hostile to God. But when we become aware of God and His righteousness, we start to want to do the right thing. And we find that we fall short. And it hit me again this week, the reality, how I've lived a life that understands the gospel in words, but it's still sinking in my heart. You know, I live my life, my words say that my righteousness is by faith, but yet at the same time, I find myself at times living like my righteousness is by my performance. You know what I'm talking about? That battle. And it hit me again this week that how sweet it is that my righteousness comes through God's Spirit. That it's because of my faith in Jesus Christ that I perfectly accomplished all those things that God wants. No longer am I accountable to achieve those perfect, every single law, every single thing that He's required us to do, but I get to just walk by obedience, by God's Spirit in me. And when we walk in obedience to the Spirit, then we accomplish everything that God intended by the law, where there is no condemnation, because we are no longer judged by God's law, but we're judged by Christ's righteousness. It's like, woohoo! Yes! I want to be judged by God's righteousness, not by how I live my life. Let's just pick up Romans 8, and I'm going to start with verse 13. We left off and finished with verse 13, but I'm going to start with verse 13 because it kind of flows into what we're going to look at today. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die, but if by the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you will live. Verse 14, for those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. The Spirit you receive does not make you slaves so that you live in fear again. Rather, the Spirit you receive brought about your adoption to sonship. And by Him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit Himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. I entitled this sermon, it's really profound. It's just called God's Children. But I just think those things are really important we identify. There's just, for the starters, as we talked about a minute ago, is God's children receive His Spirit. The moment you and I confess Jesus Christ as our Savior, God plants His Holy Spirit in us. Ephesians describes it as a guarantee of where we're headed. A guarantee where we're headed. God plants His Holy Spirit. God's children receive His Spirit. It's interesting is that God's Spirit not only gives us life, in other words, we may be clueless that we're even sinning in some ways, and or we may think that we're disobeying a law, but really we're disobeying God's heart. And so God's Spirit, when it is planted in us, He not only gives us life, but He enables us to walk out that life. Things that we couldn't do before, things that we didn't understand, things that we didn't see before. As we saw last time, the result of that new life is a changed mindset. How we think. What is the basis for how we think about things? A new way is allowing the Holy Spirit to mold our thinking, to think about things in a new way. And that new Spirit-led life leads us to put to death those habits and those things that we used to do just without even thinking, that we become aware of, and those things start to die off. I know it, as I came into my house with our children, one of the first things I would notice were the bikes that were left out, the toys that were left out, and as I came into the hallway, tripped over their backpack. That was the first thing I noticed. And you say, well, what's wrong with that? Well, because my attitude and what I talked about was focused on those things. And if you look at the scope of life, although when you come home from work, that may seem like the most important thing, but it isn't. It's who these kids are. It's like, what kind of day did you have? What game did you play at recess? What did you learn? What happened in science today? Those kind of things that say who you are as a person. Or you look so cute. I love that outfit you have on. Or I love how you're growing in your skill with your sport. Or I love that you remembered to turn your homework in today. Nice job. So that those things, as God's Spirit began to work in me, I began to see things that I didn't see before. In fact, I didn't even see what the problem with that was. I mean, what's wrong with having a kid pick up his backpack? Isn't that right and good? It is right and good, but it is not the main thing. It is not the main thing. Not only are God's children, we receive His Spirit. God's children are led by the Spirit. Because God's Spirit is now leading us, we can be confident that we're His children. You know, so a lot of people have issues with their salvation. That means that the moment that you trust Jesus for your salvation, that He says that, John 3:16, right? For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. And yet we think we mess up. We're like, oh, I'm such a loser. Why didn't I do that? I'm not going to church, or I'm not doing that, or I'm still did this thing or did that thing. And I'm not saved anymore. Well, the reality is that when we receive God's Spirit, His children are led by His Spirit. I think about those relationship that we have. As Christians, we still sin. What? I still sin. The kind of thing is, can I be led by the Spirit and still sin? Yes. The reason why is because I've got old habits, old reaction, and this body, when it gets tired, it gets cranky. I can't help it. I'm so frustrated sometimes. I come home and I'm just finished loving people or studying my sermon. I come home and I'm tired and something bothers me ridiculous, and I snap at my wife Jackie, and I'm like, why? I don't like that comes out. And so sometimes I'll say, you know what, I'm sorry, I'm just in a cranky mood, forgive me. That was kind of a short answer. In fact, that wasn't the main thing. This is the main thing. And the difference in walking in the Spirit is when beforehand the Lord said, hey, you're kind of cranky, watch what comes out of your mouth. You know, there's something that you think's an issue that's not an issue. Don't say anything. And if I'm led by the Spirit, I'll say, okay, Lord, I'll obey You. It's a difference than me just doing something that I'm unaware of. You know, as I become aware of it, the Spirit leads me to say, you know what, Will you forgive me? Will you help me break? Maybe it's a habit that you want to change. Maybe it's an eating habit. Maybe a smoking habit. Maybe a drug habit. Maybe a conversation habit. Or what you think about. You're always talking terrible self-talk about who you are. Or maybe about your spouse or about your friend or a hard relationship. That you take those under control and say, God, would you help me with these? That's being led by the Spirit. You still can fail, but being led by the Spirit to address those things. I decided to take my darling, amazing granddaughter for a walk this last Monday. And I'm sorry you're going to have to just put up with my granddaughter stories for a little while. And my son has this, they have amazing stuff for kids these days. One of them is they got a stroller. It's a three-wheel stroller, that kind you see people running with. That sucker, you just can push it, and it will go down the street by itself. It's so slick. And I'm like, this is cool, you know, let's go out. And I'm like, no, I'm going to take her for a walk. She's 18 months old, just a year and a half. And so we decided to go for a walk. I get her bundled up. I grab the key to the mailbox. And I'm thinking, okay, we'll just do a walk around the block. And I stick out my finger, and she grabs a hold of it. And we start walking. We're walking down the street. And I'm leading her. But she's got a hold of my finger. We were going to go to the left. We go down the street. We stop at the mailbox, and she's got to check all the mailboxes out. And we open it up, and I pull out the mail, and we continue our journey. Walking around as we come around the grassy park area near our house, she has to notice every little moss and rock on the ground because she's a little bit closer to the ground than I am. And that stuff looks really interesting to a year-and-a-half-old kid. And so she's got to stop and check those out. And you know, with the tall grass, I could see it was a tall, wet grass. She was like, she wanted to go into that so bad. And I gently, but she's still hanging on my finger. We went past the tall grass and kept going and got to see some dogs and conversation with neighbors. And I led her around. As we walk in that relationship with the Lord, it is so much more than an authoritarian slavery kind of thing. I was like, grab her. You need to walk this way. No, she's grabbing my finger and she's saying, let me lead her. Let me walk with her and enjoying that relationship. She is my granddaughter. We're related. I love her. God's children receive sonship. This relationship, as what we just read, it's a spirit of adoption. The spirit of adoption to sonship. Through God's Spirit, we have become God's children by adoption. We weren't God's children before, but now He's welcomed us into His family and He's adopted us. Once you were not a people, but now you are a people belonging to God. It's interesting, that word adoption was not practiced, what we understand as adoption, was not practiced by the Jewish community. And we know from Paul that he's writing to Jews, and so he's really sensitive about addressing the law and things that they would have issues to. And so, but he brings up adoption. Because this church is in Rome, heavily influenced by the Greco-Roman culture. Adoption was a Roman legal term that Paul uses here. It was a legal term whereby a man could formally confer on a child that wasn't his all the rights and privileges of a natural born child. They could say, hey, this is what my son would give, but maybe I don't have one, or I want couldn't have one. I'm going to give all my rights to you, all the privileges of being a natural born. And it was legally, it was a done deal. It was established. As a believer in Christ, God confers on us all the rights and privileges of a natural born son. We are adopted into His family. It's interesting when we talk about sonship and kind of the discussion about that. Well, that seems kind of male dominated. Well, really, there's two ways. There's an argument you could say, you know what? It really wasn't about gender. Because God's adoption is for all believers, men and women alike. But it's significant that sonship in that culture is used, because without that term sonship, it was a place of privilege, a place of esteem, a place of standing. That sonship and the firstborn son, you had privilege and rights that nobody else did. And so what Paul's trying to communicate is that's what the Holy Spirit brings to us. Those kind of rights and privileges that we didn't have before. That's not just the crumbs off the table, but it's incredible esteem and attention that God gives us through His Spirit. It's not just a privilege, but it's affection. Like I talked about my granddaughter. You know, it's interesting. I've seen pictures of your granddaughter, but I hate to break this to you. I don't love them as much as I love my granddaughter. Because she's my granddaughter. And I know it's hard in an earthly standpoint. As we receive that spirit of adoption, of sonship, God is big in us to love all of us that way. That esteemed, special way. And although it was unusual for Jews to refer and speak of God as a father, Paul describes that when we realize that new status, we cry out, Abba, Father. Abba means, is in Aramaic, means Father. We cry out, Abba, Father. The word the Father is an endearing term. It's not just a position. But when you call somebody father, it was relationship. It's an endearing term. You and I might use the word like daddy or papa. You don't just call them, you know, sir, or because that infers a just an authoritarian relationship. I love when my daughter, when we were getting along well, she would call me papa. I'm not sure if she might call me some other things when we weren't. But I like the papa part. There's relationship. Abba, Father. Do you know who called? Think about that. What the understanding of when the Jews, they had a huge respect for God. You know, Yahweh. In fact, they wouldn't even write it out. They would kind of do code word for God, because they wouldn't even say it. And then hear this relationship. Paul's talking to these Jews and saying, you get to come in this relationship that you get to call him Papa. You get to call him Father. You know what's really cool is, guess who else calls God Father? That endearing term. Jesus. Jesus calls God His Father. The Spirit enables us to have the same kind of relationship with God that Jesus does. When we receive that relationship, that spirit of adoption, of sonship, we get to enjoy the same kind of relationship with God that Jesus does. I don't know about you, but I think Jesus and God were really tight. He said, I don't do anything unless my Father tells me to do. In fact, I don't even say what He says. We're tight. We talk about it. We talk to each other. We enjoy each other. We're in relationship. God's Spirit meets our spirit and affirms with us. And we sense and know that we are His loved children. There's nothing sweeter than to know that you're loved by your parents. In an earthly sense point, maybe some of you have struggled with that because you didn't have that. And maybe you had the lady next door or grandma or somebody who did that to you, who came and hugged you and loved you, and you knew you were accepted even though you were a little rascal, you know. They loved you. That relationship that you can say, Abba, Father, you are loved. And you and I can confirm, and I don't know the science of it, I may say this wrong, but there's paternity tests you can do, right? You could say, draw blood, and I meant to ask Chelsea or some other people, but I'm just going to say you get tested, and your genes that in you, and you test the father or the mother. Like, is this your parents? And the genes that are in you match what's in them. Guess what? The paternity test for us is when we have the Holy Spirit us, when we receive Jesus, it's test positive. He's our Father. We're His children. We are God's children. That's hard to imagine, but that's the identity. God's Spirit, He plants, He deposits in every single one of believers, confirming that we're His precious children. He's proud of us. He wants to give us attention, just like I walked my little granddaughter Claire around the block. I was attentive to her. She wanted to look at something. We were going to go look at that. We're going to keep on the journey, but I was paying attention to what she wanted to look at, what she wanted to enjoy, the moss and the rock, as long as she didn't shove it in her mouth or test it out. That is cool, you know, to enjoy that, to see those things. And go on to verse 17. Now if we are children, then we are heirs, heirs of God, co-heirs with Christ, if indeed we share in His sufferings, in order that we may also share in His glory. Just when you think it can't get any better than being His loved children, what does God say? God's children are co-heirs with Christ. We're not secondary heirs down the road, down the chain. We're co-heirs. Doesn't that just blow your mind? Doesn't that just like beyond? Because I'm thinking Jesus, who sits in the heavenlies, sits at the right hand of God, and the Scriptures tell us that we are co-heirs with Christ. That's amazing. An heir is a person who's entitled to all the property, all the possessions, and the rank of another. We are co-heirs with Christ. Everything that God has given to Jesus, we share. What are those things? We share His authority. What did Jesus say in Matthew 28? It says, then Jesus came in to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Guess what? If we're co-heirs, we share in that authority. That's why you and I can walk in confidence and say, you know what? That evil thing in my life doesn't belong. That situation, I can pray God's authority over and walk in confidence. There is a walking out of it. There is a submitting to God's timing, but we can walk in an authority of it. We can walk in knowing that we are co-heirs with Christ. Not only do we share in His authority, we share in God's pleasure. I love how God affirmed it. You are my Son, whom I love. With you I am well pleased. I can't picture right now, in a sense, apart from Christ, I cannot picture God saying that to me. But what He says that is when we walk in His Spirit and when we put our faith in Jesus, the same affirmation, the same approval, the same pleasure that God has in Jesus, He has in us. Why? Because the Spirit of God, in fact, another name of it is the Spirit of Jesus, lives in us. So if the Spirit of Jesus lives in us, God's saying that to you and me. I love you and I'm well pleased with you. And God's children share in Christ's glory. Father, I want those you have given me to be with me where I am and to see my glory, the glory you have given me because you have loved me and before the creation of the world. I call the challenge of this is a now and not yet. Because we know that there's some glory. As we walk out righteousness, we see a different life. I know that my life is hugely different had I not given my heart fully to God. My description of my secretary that I hired at a project plant in Olympia, Washington, 30-some years ago, her description of me, oh yeah, Scott, he'll walk over the top of anybody as long as to get what he wants. I'm like, talking about the guy who thought that cleaned up backpacks were more important than loving your kid. Those things that God wants to see accomplished, I see the change here on earth. Those kind of things that we get to see as we walk out in obedience, people whose marriages were suffering and headed for divorce, as they've trusted God, we see God healing those marriages. You see the love being restored between people. That's glory now. It's nothing in comparison that what's coming. That's the not yet. But there is some now. We get to enjoy those things now. We get to see the privilege of those things now. But I kind of cracked up as I read this. I know Jesus isn't bragging, but I think he knows something's really cool. Have you ever had something really cool that you wanted people to see and you didn't? I know I have some friends who just got a new car, and they want all their friends to see it. You know, in one sense, you're just bragging. No, it's a cool car. They want their friends to see it. I'm thinking Jesus is up in heaven. He goes, Father, I can't wait for these guys to see the glory that you've given me in heaven. To see what they're being heirs to, what they get to participate in. Interesting in that scripture, Paul qualifies it, doesn't he? That we'll share in his glory if what? If indeed we share in his sufferings. What? God's children share in Christ's suffering. How do we share in the suffering of Christ? Does that mean we get to die on a cross too? I don't know. What does Jesus say? He says, follow me. He says, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life for me will save it. Ooh, that's a terrible question and answer, isn't it? To share in Christ's suffering? If we're picking up a cross, what does that mean? Is that just like an extra piece of wood that we're going to build our new cabin out of? Or does it mean we're going to have to lay some things aside that are important to us for something better? Is Paul saying that we end up being misunderstood and ridiculed for doing good? What did Jesus say in Matthew 5? Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Suffering. What's a struggle we've been talking about? We've been talking about a struggle between our flesh, what we want to do, what we do, that battle. Did you know that Jesus struggled? It says in Hebrews, he was tempted in everything that we were tempted in, but without sin. There's a slight difference. I mean, but if Jesus can relate, is there's a struggle that will always happen. It's how we respond to it that determines. But Jesus struggled between what his flesh wanted. I'm always amazed. It says that Jesus, in one point, he took his disciples off to be alone. And when he got there, there was a big crowd waiting for them. And Jesus didn't say, you know what, I'm on sabbatical. See you guys later. No, Jesus said, what, Father? Okay. Let's go and teach some more. Let's go and do some more miracles. Those things that he put his... I don't know how he didn't get cranky. I get cranky when I get hungry and tired. None of you are like that though, right? I'm like, Jesus, how did you do that? Well, guess what? He's God. But he still struggled with that stuff. He still struggled. The suffering, the struggle is between our will and God's will. Right, we know from his prayer. He said, Father, if you are willing, take this cup from me. Yet not my will, but your will. Jesus struggled with that. He had a will. He didn't want to go to the cross. But he knew that that's what he was sent for. He says, I submit my will to you, Father. There's a struggle. There's a pain that happens. There's a struggle not only for God's will, but the struggle for doing good. Peter points out in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 20, but how is it to your credit if you receive a beating for doing wrong and endure it? But if you suffer for doing good and you endure it, that is commendable before God. I always tell people, you know, in those struggles, that just because people yell at you or are mad at you doesn't mean you did the wrong thing. Because you say, pray about it. Know that it lines up with God's word and then do it. Did you know people get really mad at you when you do things sometimes? And whose issue is it? Sometimes it's theirs. They got sin issues that are going on. But be confident, like if you're doing the right thing, be confident people are going to get mad at you. Maybe you're forcing them to look at something they didn't want to look at. You can be confident that be confident that God is noticing and it's commendable to Him when we get in trouble for doing the right thing. I told somebody the other day, we were talking about sin, and they said, do you speed? And I said, well, yeah, I guess I do. I said, I usually go 5 miles over the speed limit. And so I don't know if I was affirming to them because they said, yeah, me too. But I remember a few years ago, I was headed up to Portland, and I was doing 70, and I got pulled over by our state police for going too slow. I was like, oh, come on, you kidding me? I was very in tune. I kept trying to pass somebody, but I wasn't as aggressive as I needed to be to get by them, because every time I speeded up, you know, people, if you aren't paying attention, you've seen that. You speed up, and if you speed up slowly, their perception of speed is by how fast things go by them. So you speed up, and they speed up with you, and you slow down, and they slow down with you. And I'm trying to get over, because I know it's a busy thing, and I should have just stepped on it and got around them, but because I didn't, the state patrol pulled me over and said, hey, you're holding up traffic. I said, I was doing 71, 72 miles an hour. He says, I don't care. I said, if you're holding up traffic, you got to get out of the way. I said, okay, I'll get out of the way. I don't know what that story has to do with anything. I just have issues. I got to confess it or something. This struggle to do good, that was what it had to do with. You're trying to do the right thing, and I got pulled over. Let's end with this last comment. And it's really not from this passage, but it is from the Bible. Is God's children receive eternal life? Revelation 2:10. Do not be afraid of what you're about to suffer. I tell you, the devil will put some of you in prison to test you, and you will suffer persecution for 10 days. Be faithful, even to the point of death, and I will give you life as your victor's crown. The reality is, we walk out as God's children, there's going to be a struggle. And just like we took the communion this morning, that the bread of life, God is life. As we walk out as children, there is a struggle. But it's one of those things we need to remember our identity, that sonship, that relationship. I want to be the guy who grabs onto my father's finger, Papa's finger, and I allow him to lead me where we're going. And I know he's a great papa. He'll stop and let me pick up the moss and rocks. He'll let me walk and pet the dog. He'll let me enjoy life. But there's a place that we're going together. There's a place that he wants to direct us. There's a relationship. I can be trusting this. Like, I'm not just this little spoiled brat kid, although I may act like one sometime. I'm his loved child that I get to walk with him in relationship. Let's pray. Dear Lord, I just thank you for your word this morning. We are your children. I study this, and even as I talk about this morning again, I'm amazed. Lord, this is too big. This is amazing. God, but it's your word, it's truth, it's all the evidence is there. Lord, you sent your son to die on the cross, the most precious thing to you. And he obeyed you and willing so that we would have life. Eternal life with relationship, without sin. We are loved. We are part of your family. And there is some things that we get to walk through right now that because of the world we live in, we will suffer for doing good. We will suffer because our flesh wants to go the other way and your spirit says to go this way. Lord, help us to walk in that relationship with you, confident that we are your children. Every time your Holy Spirit talks to our heart, we would go, yep, I'm my daddy's kid. I have the same genes in me that want to do the right thing, that want to love people, that don't want to be concerned about things that I need to trust God for. Those things and attitudes that, God, you're redeeming in us, that you're showing us that who we are today isn't who we're going to be tomorrow because we trust you. Because you're a dad who loves us. You're a dad who disciplines us. You're a dad who affirms us. You're a dad who encourages us. You're a dad who teaches us. Lord, we thank you. Lord, I just give opportunity, if there's anybody here who has never accepted Jesus as their Savior. I'm not trying to embarrass you, and I won't. But if that's you, just raise your hand. I want to pray for you. That if you say, I want to recognize and be in that kind of relationship with the Creator God to be His Son. If that's you this morning, I just invite you to raise your hand. I just always want to give that opportunity. Because I know that sometimes it takes repeated invitations before we say yes. Lord, and I know, God, you're always working. Lord, I just pray this morning that we walk away with our head a little higher, our shoulders back, knowing that we are co-heirs with you, Jesus, and that we're God's children. Thank you, Lord. Amen. If you'd like prayer, I just welcome you to come up front, and we have a few people that would love to pray with you. Enjoy your afternoon. My app said it's supposed to be sunny tomorrow. I think sunny Monday and Tuesday. Enjoy your afternoon. Lord bless you.